Okay, good morning. Come grab some coffee and donuts. We return to Sha'ar Mitzvah, page Kuf Yud Zayin, 117. We're on the chapter of Chiloy. We continue on the perek that's dealing with the form of tefillah, of tapping into the formulas of Chazal. Not just, what's it called? When actors go off script.
Ad-lib.
Not just improvising, thank you. Not just improvising in tefillah in our own words, which is one important aspect of tefillah we've discussed in the past, but remembering to stick to the script as well, because this script is not like any other. It's not mundane or ordinary. The script is extraordinary. The script was composed and authored by men who knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu better than anyone, and therefore understood what was in our best interest, the script that would be the most effective. Hinei lemashal. We're in the bottom paragraph, page Kuf Yud Zayin. When it comes to davening, we have all kinds of laws. Ezo tefila meula yosef eza pachos. What tefila is considered more significant and which less? Now, it's hard to imagine that we call one prayer more or less significant than another. We don't generally judge or label our prayers. But we do. We have prayers you can only say in a minyan, prayers you can say outside of a minyan. We have prayers which are indispensable, you're not allowed to skip. And we have other prayers that if you're late to shul or you say them more slowly, you should omit. So different tefillos have different levels. Or another example is the categorical difference between davening in a minyan and davening alone. You find a lot with young people. Young, beautiful people. You'll find young people who say, I'm talking to Hashem. What's the difference if I do it in shul? What's the difference if I do it at home? What's the difference if I do it with nine other men? What's the difference if I do it alone? If it really represents a dialogue, a communication between me and my Creator, who cares? Is environment, surroundings important? But says Rav Pinkas, if you study the Gemara Brachos Daf Ches and you understand the great virtue, you understand the great importance of davening in a tzibur, if you really understand the difference, you understand the impact of being part of a tzibur versus being a lone individual, you would never ever minimize it. So what do some people think? Yeah, you know what? It's the low-level people. They need a tzibur. Who needs the tzibur? The person who can't daven alone, they can't follow, the person who wouldn't be motivated unless they were davening in a tzibur. But me, but I can concentrate more when I'm alone. They go too fast in the tzibur. I can go at my own pace. I can concentrate. How many times I've had conversations with people who tell me, Rabbi, I daven in my backyard, the palm trees, the beautiful weather, I feel spiritual, I feel Hashem 10 times more in my backyard than I do in shul. Okay, there's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for the spirituality. That's why once a month we bring the shul to the beach for our Nate's sunrise minion at the beach once a month. However, whatever could be achieved in the spirituality of the palm trees in the backyard pales in comparison to the spiritual benefits of tapping into being part of a tzibur. But some people, young people in particular, Pinkas says, they feel, okay, so the low-level people need the tzibur. I have the ability to concentrate. I have the ability to connect with Hashem, even more so when I'm alone. And we have many, many more examples. That davening is regulated. Right? Again, if I had a dollar every time someone said to me, I don't pray formally. I talk to God in my own words every day. Right? I don't need davening. I talk to God. I say, great, when's the last time you talked to God? I don't know. How long did it last, your conversation? More than a minute? 60 seconds? 90 seconds? 2 minutes? Right, and doing yoga is nice, it's valuable, but it's not talking to God. And meditating might calm your nerves, it's good. But you can't talk about that as talking to God.
Try to make up an appropriate prayer on his own every day.
Right.
You'll find it very difficult.
Right. So again, if all we have is the script and it's utterly impersonal and it's cold and there's no connection, then we've done a disservice. That's not tefillah. But if all we have is the improvising and there is no sticking with the script, there is no following the regulated formulas of davening, then we also have nothing. It's a matter of finding that combination. Right, the people who generally say that say it in a condescending, judgmental way. Davening, that's for people who aren't spiritual. They need the formality of the sitter. Me? I'm spiritual. I talk to God on my own. I'm always talking to God. I don't need davening. My backyard is the most spiritual place. I don't need davening. But if you actually measured how often they daven, or how long they daven for, or the nature of their davening, I doubt it really compares. On the other hand, the people who come to shul and discharge their obligation by unloading the words of the sitter, but don't concentrate for one word, don't add anything personal, aren't connected to Hashem about their day and what's coming up in their day, they're also it's robotic. Because the Tos no Rav Ashkafa Mutas Shahar Bechalal Mepil Batsumim Kol Argeah, says Rav Pinkas, this attitude, this philosophy, is a terrible mistake. Eif Sharlon Ladaber Chasva Shalom Avosenu Shmeolam, Aval Derech Limut Torah Zoyis Bepashlus Teusam Shal Nadav Aviu Bnei Aaron. He says, you know, we don't speak disparagingly about our forefathers. However, it seems that this was the mistake of Nadav Aviu, Aaron's two sons. Shekrivu b'yom simchas Hashem Yisborach ish ketoras ashilotziva osam. What happened? Inauguration day, opening day of the Mishkan. Should have been one of the most joyous, if not the most joyous day in Aaron's life. Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, is scheduled to throw out the first korban. It's opening day, most joyous day in his life, inaugurating this new stadium, Lahavdil, this new Beis HaMikdash, surrounded by Klal Yisrael, Moshe, Shechina. And what happens? The happiest day of his life turns into the most tragic and saddest day of his life. His two sons, young, in the prime of their life, die suddenly, abruptly. And of course, Chazal debate with countless opinions. What was their mistake? What was their sin? They entered the Mishkan drunk. They didn't have children or get married. Did they? What? Eish Zara. They brought a Ketorah. They brought a Korban that wasn't asked of them. So says Rav Pinkas, focused on the answer of their bringing an offering that wasn't commanded to them. What was their mistake? And with a very harsh consequence, they had positive intentions. They had pure intentions. They felt close to Hashem, and they said, you know what? Let's go off script. Let's improvise. Let's improvise. This feels so good. I feel so spiritually connected. I feel so uplifted. I feel so... Let's improvise. Let's improvise. Let's bring a korban that wasn't asked of us. Let's bring an Eish Zara. Let's do our own thing. Let's create a new prayer. Let's create a new partnership minion. Let's create a new obligation. Let's create a new fangled formula that we think is the right way to be. Even though it's off script. Even though it's not part of the regulations, the halachas of davening. And it had great consequences. Their mistake was to think that they could improvise and that they could abandon the formula and exclusively continue with improvising, with improvisation. Kodesh Baruch Hu mala mala mikol atfiso, kodesh v'nora shmo. Kodesh Baruch Hu transcends, is superior, is far greater than anything we can comprehend. Shim kol am kol etzam anochach adayin unistar b'tachlis ahester. That even though, yes, we have a relationship, we spoke last week about talking to Hashem as if He's our best friend, standing opposite us, talking to Hashem in a casual, comfortable, accessible way. You, atachonein, atakadosh, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, we have to remember that Hashem is elusive. He's distant. He's different. Even when it seems that the formula is dry and old and archaic, we have to remember that it works. We have to remember that it is not, that it's ordained from those who are beyond us. If I go to the doctor, he prescribes medicine. So, You know, there's no question I can supplement the medicine he prescribes with vitamins, with eating a lot of chicken soup, with having some, a good helping of certain vegetables, which are going to be good for me. But what if I say, you know what, I'm going to stop taking a couple of those pills, and I'm going to substitute them with these other pills that I'm going to get access to. I go off script. And I don't know what the doctor who prescribes it, the pharmacist, knows. It's just my feeling. I feel better about taking those other pills instead of these pills. It makes me think, I think I'll do better, recover better, feel better. So that would be ridiculous, and that would be harmful, no matter what our intentions are. The most noble of intentions, nevertheless, would be self-destructive and would be harmful. And the same thing is true in davening. The same thing is true in avodas Hashem bechlal, in all of our worship of Hashem. We have a formula, we have regulations, they've worked. And just a historical note, if you look at our history, you'll see those who've improvised and gone off script, what's left today of their Judaism? What's the Jewish continuity that's coming from them? What's with those movements? And those who've been loyal to the scripts of 2,000, 3,000 years, those who've maintained the formula, even while yet complementing it in the new, with the new things that the world presents, that's where Judaism is thriving and flourishing. So it's true for Avoda, for all of our service of Hashem, broadly and generally, and it's true in particular when it comes to davening, is if we close the siddur and think, I'll just talk to Hashem just from my heart, we're not going to continue to daven. We'll lose the sense of community, we'll lose the sense of unity, we'll lose the sense of connecting with those who came hundreds of years before us and who will come hundreds of years after and who live all over the world. The formula of davening and the halachas, the framework of davening, are critically important to the continuity of our davening of our people. But equally important is as well, is making it personal and making it ours. He says, you might think you have other ways in order to get close to Hashem, but don't abandon the true and tested formula that we know is work, that we know works. You know, Amendment 2 failed yesterday. I don't know how many people are disappointed, happy about that. Got 58%, 57%, needed 60% to pass. Medical marijuana in Florida was Amendment 2. So, you know, there's a lot of people who get high, and they think when they're high, it helps my spirituality. I came to spiritual conclusions, epiphanies that I never would have if I was sober. From the Jewish perspective, that's a counterfeit high. We have counterfeit highs and we have authentic highs. And when you go off script, you may experience a counterfeit high. But the only authentic high is to tap into the authentic prescription and formula that was provided by the source himself, by the Ribono Shel Olam. So we stay on script, we experience the authentic high, and we complement it with our own personal connection, which is part of the formula itself. To use our own words, to talk to Hashem, not only in shul, not only from the sitter, but also throughout the day, and throughout our needs, and in gratitude for the good that we have. And it's the combination of the two, which is the most authentic. Have a great week.